morning. So wonderful to see everybody gathered together for our worship experience at Flat Springs Baptist Church. If you are a guest with us, we are excited that you are here with us this morning. We would love to have a record of you being with us. We have guest cards. Those are located right in front of you in the pew. If you could, fill one of those out, whether this is your first time or if you've been several times and have not, we would love to have that record, and you can put that guest card in the offering plate when it comes around a little bit later in the service. Again, welcome to our worship service this morning. We have just a few announcements to make sure we're all aware of just a couple items. First of all, if you are a teacher or leader in any capacity on Wednesday nights with the children, whether it be music, a classroom, whatever it may be, teacher, leader, any capacity, Thursday, April 10th at 6:30, we will have a meeting here to discuss several different items. So make sure, if you can be here, to be here at that time then. Also, about our Wednesday night meals that are going very well, we have sign up for this Wednesday in the atrium. Please, after service, go there. If you are able to make the meal during Wednesday night, sign up for that ahead of time. In each line, you'll put one individual's name so we can better keep record of that. And also, the helpers who are helping Mandy, she has schedules for you all at this time. If you could see her, she wants to give you your schedule. That is all broken down now. If you could see her to get your schedule, if you're a helper on Wednesday night meals, please do that. In our last announcement, you may have noticed a sea of gray in this area of the sanctuary here. We are finishing up in youth our Disciple Now weekend, our second annual Disciple Now weekend. We have had an amazing weekend. God has worked in a tremendous way. He has worked through a lot of change in our schedule. When it rained yesterday a lot, it molded the way we were going to do things. But God has worked in a fantastic way through our worship experiences. We had host homes that hosted 6 to 7 youth and had small group Bible studies. You may notice on the back of their t-shirts an interesting little saying. You'll have to ask them about that, because our study has been, how do we, as disciples of Jesus Christ, follow what he says as being servants of him and for others? And we read a passage of scripture that gave us very clear understanding of how to follow Jesus Christ as his disciples and as his servants. So I just want you to continue to pray for our time together this morning, and have this weekend be a moment they remember and use for the week ahead and time ahead far beyond that, because God has been at work in such an amazing way. Are there any other announcements we have this morning before we begin our worship service? Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. God, thank you so much for calling us together as your church. We are ready for your presence. We are praying that you are here, you are guiding us, and that you move through us. As we sing praises to your name, may the words we say resonate within our hearts. May the word we read challenge us and move us to be more committed disciples of your Son, Jesus Christ. God, please guide us this morning as your church to be unified, encouraged, and ready to go throughout the world this week as your disciples, doing your will, serving those around us. And God, we always pray in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let us spend several moments preparing our hearts and our minds for our worship experience this morning.
shine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, find the glory. Revive us, revive us, revive us again. We praise thee, O God, O Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. We praise thee, O God, for the Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Revive us, revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sin and has cleansed every stain. Revive us again, fill his heart with thy love. May his soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Find the glory, revive us, revive us, revive us again. Hallelujah, find the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, find the glory. Revive us again. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us, revive us, revive us again. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. Let's turn in our hymnal to page 614, Fill the Earth with Music. Let's all stand.
So then you can rise up.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for giving us this beautiful day. Lord, take these offerings and use them to better further your kingdom. Lead us all into this world this week and hope that we will be back here again to share your word again next week. In your beautiful name we pray. Amen.
So wonderful to see so many of you gathered right here for us to see how God's going to teach us a little bit this morning. I'm always excited about that. And I may have asked you this question before, but I want to ask it again. You know, yesterday wasn't a very nice day outside, so it might have been hard to play outside yesterday, but it was raining. You're right, a lot. Think of a really pretty day when it's sunny outside, when you might be playing with your friends. What are your favorite things to play outside with your friends? Yeah. Bow and arrow, I like that. What is it? Baseball, yes. What do you like to play outside? Hide and seek, I love that game. I love that. Ride your bike, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. Favorite game outside. Tag. I love that. I love that. On your scooter. I like that. Dodgeball. Good game. One more. On your trampoline. I love this. So we love to play outside. We love to play with our friends, right? Especially when it's nice outside. Now think about maybe when it's raining outside. Have you ever been allowed to play in the rain sometimes? And I remember when I was growing up, I loved to play basketball, baseball, climb trees with my friends. Whatever it may have been, I loved to be outside. And a couple times when it was raining, I was allowed to play in the rain, and we even got into a little mud sometimes. We went on a youth trip, and it was raining when I was in youth a whole lot, and we played in the mud with mudsliding. But we'll talk about that later. You may be wondering, Matt, why are you talking about mud this morning? What does that have to do with anything? Well, do you know what mud is made of? What's mud? Water and dirt. See, I have dirt here. Don't worry, I'm not going to make mud right here. But I want to show you dirt and water. And if I was going to mix the two together, we'd have mud. It seems pretty simple, right? Well, the reason I'm telling you about that is because Jesus uses mud in a very interesting way in the scripture we're talking about this morning. John chapter 9, listen to what Jesus does here with mud. It's pretty amazing. As he passed by, he saw a blind man from birth, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, disciples are asking Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, it was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said this, he spit on the ground and he made clay. He made dirt with that, and he put the dirt on the man's eyes. And he said to him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. That's translated into sent. So he went away and he washed, and he came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who saw him before as a beggar were saying, is this not the one who used to sit and beg? Others were saying, this is he. Still others were saying, no, that can't be him. He kept saying, I am the one. So they were saying to him, how then were your eyes opened? He answered, the man who was called Jesus made clay, he made dirt, anointed my eyes and said to me, go and wash in the pool of Siloam and wash it. So I went away and washed it, and I received sight. That's pretty amazing to think about, that Jesus used clay and put it on the man's eyes to make him see again. Now, Jesus didn't have to do that. He could make him see just by saying it. And you may wonder, well, why would Jesus, or how would Jesus do this? He performed a lot of miracles, and the reason he did that is he wanted to show the disciples and people of the world that he is God, and he loves them very much, and he loves us very much. And even though Jesus is in heaven right now, he still loves us very much, and he still takes care of us and gives us what we need. And I want us to remember that this morning, that Jesus will always care for us, and Jesus is God, so that means he loves us very much. Okay? So let's pray about that this morning. God, thank you so much for your son, Jesus Christ, and the miracle that he did to give the man who was blind sight. God, we know that he did that to show us just how much you love us and will always take care of us. God, we thank you for that. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Amen. I love that. I'll see y'all next week.
You put your bulletin in at page 279, and then we're going to sing page 276, two verses of "O Jesus, I Have Promised," and then turn over to 279, "O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee." It says, "I shall not fear the battle if thou art by my side, and Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Give me grace to follow my master and my friend," and then we turn over and sing, "O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee in Lowly Paths of Service Free." Let's all stand.
Thank you. Thank you. You may be seated. Let me invite you to open your bulletins to our prayer concerns. And an important part of our worship each day is to remember those who have special needs. I have some names I'd like to add to our prayer list. And one situation that's on our ongoing list that now we want to be praying in a very special way is for Mark Jackson and his family. His father, Tom Jackson, who's on our ongoing list, passed away. That service will be in Georgia next Saturday. We want to be remembering this family in our prayers in a very special way. Also, I'd like to add the name of Frank Caraway. That is a cousin to Judith Nance, who has received a difficult diagnosis this week, and we want to be keeping him and the family in our prayers. And then some community folks that I'd like to ask you to add to your prayer list. Marjorie Holt, and this next one I'm going to try. It is, and you will know her, I don't, Terry Shikoski. How'd I do? Fair? You know who I'm talking about? God knows, isn't that wonderful? Rosemary Parton and Foster Mason, all having some needs that we need to keep in our prayer, so we would invite you to keep them. And certainly we want to continue to remember Neil and Ruby and the loss of their grandson, Jack Childress, in a very special way, and then also lost our own church family, that of Ed Sloan. We want to keep his family lifted up in our prayers. The list is long. The opportunities are many. May we even now unite our hearts as we go to God in prayer. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we have been praising you already this morning, and we pray that you are enjoying our worship. You are so worthy of it. And God, as we worship, we know that you are mindful of our needs. And so we now bring not only this list, but also maybe someone that we know about, Lord, that we haven't mentioned, that needs to be lifted to you during our corporate worship right now. So, Lord, we lift them all to you, knowing that when we place these names and these people at your feet, we have done them a great service and placed them at the best place. We pray, God, that you might continue to speak to us as we think of what it means to be a servant and how you are molding and developing us and how you are making us live out on that one foundation of the church to be all that you've created us to be. God, you know every need. You know every decision that if it's made today in a moment of prayer and worship, will change next week and the rest of our lives. Give us courage as we worship you in spirit and in truth, to make those choices, to make those commitments, to make those decisions. As we offer you our best, because you are our best. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Keeping in mind that the congregation is not the audience, but that God is the audience, I'd like for you to pray with us on this song, a little more like God every day, a little less like us and a little more like God. Pray this prayer with us.
We'll be right back.
Thank you, choir. Thank you, eternity. And thank you for the Lord. Our music has challenged us today and reminded us of our call. If you would, let me invite you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read verses 7 through 16. Ephesians 4, verses 7 through 16. If you're able, would you stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's Word? But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Notice that gift is singular. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended in the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we have all attained to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow in every way unto Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body is joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. May God add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His most holy word. Would you pray with me? God, would you speak to us this morning? No, God, would you continue to speak to us this morning as you already are touching our hearts with so many powerful thoughts? Give us courage to think them. Give us courage to act upon them. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Our hymn of decision is Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, 277. If you would mark that, that will be our hymn of decision at the conclusion of our service today. As we continue our theme and our study, today we'll look at servant leadership development. Now, let me tell you what that doesn't mean. I'm not trying to get anybody to be the head of a committee or serve on any organization. What does it mean as a believer in Jesus Christ to be a servant? And if we are a servant, where is He leading us and how do we need to develop? Are we interested in serving or only in being served? A first grade teacher asked her students, how are you a servant at your home? What do you do to help around the house? One little girl said, "I dry the dishes." Another little boy said, "I sweep the floor." Another said, "I feed and water the dog." Another said, "I take out the trash." And on they went with their chores. All except one little fellow. You know that one little fellow. He didn't say anything. And not wanting him to be left out, finally the teacher said, "And Johnny, what do you do to help around the house?" He said, "I stay out of the way. That's how I help." I wonder if sometimes spiritually I just sort of try to stay out of the way. Stay out of the way. Is that? Well, I hope that the end of our message today, we will all be concerned to the point that we realize we can't just stay out of the way. We're all called to be servants. Those gifts that God gave, they're for all of us. I guess one of the greatest preachers history will ever record in the Christian faith is that of Charles Spurgeon. In one of his writings, he said this, "I think that I may say to every person to whom I'm addressing, that if you are saved, the work is but half done until you are employed to bring others to Christ." I think that's worth repeating. "I think that I may say to every person whom I am addressing, if you are saved, the work is but half done until you are employed to bring others to Christ. You are as yet but half formed into the image of your Lord. You have not attained the full development of the Christ-like life. Unless you have commenced in some feeble way to tell others of the grace of God. And I trust that you will find no rest to the soles of your feet until you have been the means of leading many to our blessed Savior." Let us ask Him to give us grace to go a-fishing, Spurgeon said, "and so to cast our nets that we may take a great multitude of fishes. Oh, that the Holy Ghost may raise up from among us some master fishers who will sail their boats in many a sea and surround great shoals of fish." It's a great image, isn't it? It's a great metaphor. It's the one Jesus used. Well, very quickly this morning, I want us to look at three truths. First of all, that we're called to be servants. The gift that's mentioned in our text in verse 7, that singular gift, you remember I called our attention to it when we read it, of Christ's gift, that single gift, that's the Comforter. That's the Holy Spirit. That's God coming into our midst. It's the Holy Spirit of God. And remember when we started this study so many weeks ago, we said that first it had to be God's empowering presence in our life. The servant role is what Christ demonstrated for us. We studied it this morning in our Sunday school hour when He girded Himself and He washed the disciples' feet. He showed us, He told us, He taught us what our faith was to do. When we receive Christ's gift, the Holy Spirit, we become servants. Servants like Jesus. God has gifted Max Licato to be a wonderful wordsmith. Listen to this description from Max Licato. "No man had more reason to be miserable than this one. Yet no man was more joyful. His first home was a palace. Servants were at his fingertips. The snap of his fingers changed the course of history. His name was known and loved. He had everything, wealth and power, respect. And then he had nothing. Students of the event still ponder it. Historians stumble as they attempt to explain it. How could a king lose everything in an instant? One moment he was royalty, the next he was in poverty. His bed became at best a barred pallet, and usually it was the hardened earth. He never owned more than the basics, even the mode of transportation, and he was dependent on others even for his income. He was sometimes so hungry he would eat the raw grain picked or the fruit from a tree. He knew what it was like to be rained upon, to be cold. He knew what it meant to have no home. His palace grounds had been spotless. Now he was exposed to filth. He had never known disease, but now he was surrounded by illness. In his kingdom, he had been revered, but now he was ridiculed. His neighbors tried to lynch him. Some called him a lunatic. His family tried to confine him to their home. Those who didn't ridicule him tried to use him. They wanted favors. They wanted tricks. He was a novelty. They wanted to be seen with him, that is, until being with him was out of fashion. Then they wanted to kill him. He was accused of a crime he never committed. Witnesses were hired to lie. The jury was rigged. No lawyer was assigned to his defense. A judge swayed by politics handed down the death penalty. And they killed him. He left as he came, penniless. He was buried in a barred grave, his funeral financed by compassionate friends. Though he once had everything, he died with nothing. He should have been miserable. He should have been bitter. He had every right to be a pot of boiling anger, but he wasn't. He was joyful. He was joyful when he was poor. He was joyful when he was abandoned. He was joyful when he was betrayed. He was even joyful as he hung on a tool of torture, his hands pierced with 6-inch Roman spikes. I like what Lucado says here. Jesus embodied a stubborn joy. A stubborn joy. A joy that refused to bend in the wind of hard times. A joy that held its ground even against pain. A servant to follow. The one who had it all. The suffering servant, we call him. Are we following? Was Spurgeon right that maybe some of us here are only halfway done? We haven't taken seriously the call to go out into the fields that are white unto harvest. When we start with Jesus' servant heart, it reminds us that we must lead others. I love what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not myself being under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. Have you noticed that folks around Deep River think different? Y'all notice that? You think somebody from New York can help us at Deep River? Who's going to help our neighbors who think like we think? Who talk like we talk? Who love like we love? who learn like we learn. We need to become deep river missionaries to save Deep River. We need to be concerned. We need to understand that our service is not to some committee. Oh, he tells us in verse 11 about those leaders, and they're important. But our service is not to the church. Our service is to our fellow brothers and sisters who yet don't know that the King left it all with a stubborn joy to come and bring them home. Leadership. S.I. McMillan, in his book, None of These Diseases, tells a story about a young woman who wanted to go to college, and her heart sank when she got to that one question, are you a leader? And she thought about that. In fact, she stopped doing the application, and she thought for a day or two about, am I a leader? Am I a leader? And finally, her conscience made her say the right thing. And she answered the question, no, I'm not a leader. She thought, well, I'm going to send the app anyway. I know they don't want me. But to her surprise, she received a letter from the college. It said, dear applicant, a study of the application form reveals that this year our college freshman class will have 1,452 new leaders. We are accepting you because we feel it is imperative that they have at least one follower. You know? How do you define what a leader is? Each of us have in our own mind, maybe it's because politics have told, we talk about political leaders. Or maybe it's even church. We talk about church leaders or school leaders or work leaders. And we have this idea, but what I want us to do is to redefine that word leading. And it is simply leading others to the throne of grace. All of us are called to do that. Oh, he gives us in verse 11 about the apostles and the evangelists, about the shepherds and the teachers. They have their place. But then he says that they're to equip the saints, all of us, to do the ministry. I love the bulletin that I remember that First Baptist Church in Buies Creek, and I've seen it elsewhere. It said the staff is so-and-so, and then it said the ministers, and it said all the congregation. All the congregation. All of us are missionaries. Most of us are going to be assigned to Deep River or to Sanford or to Lee or Southern Lee High Schools or to our workplace or to our community. Leading others to Christ. Sharing a good word. Making sure that everything we do is about carrying the gospel, leading others to Christ, or all of our Facebook posts pointing others to Christ, or all of our Twitters, are we tweeting Christ? Is all of our conversation leading others to the throne? That brings me to the last point this morning, that of development. We're equipped to be the servants that lead others to Christ. It's a process. How's your maturity? I love Rick Warren, and let me read this quote from Rick. He said, there are no shortcuts to maturity. You know, the older we become, the more we realize that, don't we? It takes years for us to grow to adulthood, and it takes full seasons for fruit to mature and ripen. The same is true of the fruit of the Spirit. The development of a Christ-like character cannot be rushed. Spiritual growth, like physical growth, takes time. When you're trying to ripen fruit quickly, it loses its flavor. In America, a And this is so true, and you will agree with this. Tomatoes are usually picked unripened so they won't bruise during shipping to the stores. And then when they're sold, these green tomatoes are sprayed with CO2 gas to turn them red almost instantly. Gas tomatoes are edible. I'm not sure I quite agree with that statement, Rick. But they're no match for the flavor of a vine-ripened tomato that's allowed to mature slowly. You know, there's too much wanting to spray stuff on us and make us mature so quickly. Or maybe just act like we are mature. Maybe you're here today and as you begin to think of that half part, that maybe I haven't led anyone to Christ and I'm not real comfortable even now, even though I feel something, and that's the Holy Spirit reminding me that what I'm hearing is true and I know it's true. I'm still not comfortable. Maybe the most important thing in this sermon I'm about to say. It's so simple I shouldn't even say it. And yet I think if we hear it, if I hear it, maybe I will start great steps in my spiritual growth. My spiritual maturity. You ready for this profound statement? The more time we spend being a follower of God, the better we'll be able to lead others to God. That's it. That's all I got. That's all we need. The more time we spend with God, being a follower of God, the better we'll be able to lead. Rather than say, I can't do that because of this, or I can't lead people because of that, I might not know what to say, I might pray about it. Spend time with God talking about it. Before refrigerators were commonplace, there were ice houses. Anybody here old enough to remember ice houses? And in some places where they would have the rivers to freeze, they would go and they would cut these big chunks of ice out of the river, and then they'd bring them into these tightly fitted rooms that had sawdust floors, and there they'd keep the ice, and they could make it sometimes all summer. One man who was working in that ice house lost a valuable watch while he was working there, and he searched diligently for it, and he was raking the sawdust, and he couldn't find it, and fellow workers were there, and they were all looking, but their efforts were futile. A small boy who heard about the fruitless search slipped into the ice house during the noon hour when no one was in there. And in a very few moments, he emerged with the watch. Amazed, the man said, "How'd you do that? We've been looking for 2 hours. How did you find it so quickly?" Listen to what the young boy said and see if we can make some spiritual application. "I closed the door," the boy replied. "I lay down in the sawdust. I kept very still. Soon, I heard the watch ticking." Do you get it? The psalmist gives us a great truth when he says, "Be still and know that I am God." I think one of the great problems we have in our spiritual development is we're too busy. We're too busy. Often the question is not whether God is speaking. That still small voice speaks every day. The real question is, are we listening? The more time we spend learning from those God called to teach us in church, the more natural it becomes to lead others to the church. The more we lead others to the church, the better servants of Christ we become, and the stronger the church becomes. Why does a sports team exist? Well, the ultimate answer, I guess, would be to win. We might come up with some other answer about to compete or for some kind of community pride, but the name of the game is to win, isn't it? It's to win. Looking good in a uniform or having nice places to play or even nice equipment, that's not the goal. The goal is to play the game and to win. How's the church win? Is it by having nice equipment? Or good-looking uniforms? I think not. I think the church wins when we take seriously the call of our Lord and Savior to seek to save those who are lost. To win them to Him. Today, may each of us take seriously our servant leadership development, that we might become servants and developing how to lead others to Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, in this moment, may we close the door and lay down in the sawdust of our life and listen for your ticking, and then move to where you are, and we'll be amazed at what we find. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn and hymn of decision, our hymn of invitation, is page 277, Take My Life. What has God said during this powerful time of worship today? From the music, through the message, through the being together, what will we say to God as we stand together? One of my favorite things to say at the end of a worship service is, would you please be seated for just a moment? Kendall, come stand with me. Got a phone call last night and a conversation this morning and today. Miss Kendall Gain comes professing Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior and asks that upon her baptism that she be become a part of Flat Springs Baptist Church family. And we're so proud of her. Do I hear a motion that we receive Kendall into our fellowship? I hear motions and seconds. If you would join me in welcoming her to our church family officially, would you indicate that by saying hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Kendall, we're going to try hard to be the church that you need to be so you can grow to become the young woman that God wants you to be. You have made our day, and we're so excited. She's going to stand with me. I told her she was going to get hugged to pieces here directly. And I know that when you do that, let me remind us that when we bring anyone into our church fellowship, we do so with a responsibility. That it is now our task. She is our divine assignment that we show her what God is all about in our daily walk. Thank you so much. And Kendall, I'm going to, and Mom, Dad, and Reese, and whoever else can come and join us. Would you stand with me? I tell you, this sea of gray over here looks great. I know y'all had a great weekend. So proud of our youth. And now, as we leave, and by the way, one more thing before we leave. If you haven't signed up and you want a hot dog Wednesday night, you need to sign up, okay? So please do that for us. Now as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, and in God's abiding presence, that we might be His people in the midst of all His people. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank You for a profession of faith today. And remind us of all our professions of faith. And may we leave this place, Lord, to go and lead others to Your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
See you.